Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Slareth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Here we go. The Avalanche go out on the road. This win was impressive. You're playing Vancouver. You know Vancouver's up for this game. They're ready to roll. They come out. They play a great first period. Tons of energy. Jump on the Avs 2-0. Extend the lead to 3-0. And the Avs are in a back-to-back situation. Most teams would let go of the rope and let the game go. Not this Avalanche team that is the best come-from-behind team in the NHL. They did it again. They rally. They force overtime. Val Nichushkin with a puck that deflects off his visor into the net for the game winner. When it was all said and done, Nathan MacKinnon had this to say about how great this win was.
Best win of the year for sure. We're really happy with our game. Tough start, but, you know, it was just kind of a weird start. A couple breaks. We didn't quit. I thought we really dominated the third period, which is always what you want to do. Huge goal by Mikko, a couple seconds left. We had a great third and really excited about that win tonight.
I just keep coming back to how different Nathan MacKinnon sounds talking about this team pre-trade deadline versus post. His enthusiasm and excitement for what they've got going right now, you can hear it.
Did he just say the best game of the season?
Best win of the season.
Best win of the season. Yeah. By the way, too, like, it does go to show you having that big body in front of the net with Val.
Huge.
I mean, that dude, it deflected off his visor. That goes over just about everybody else's head. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just because of his size, his overall size. The guy is a huge difference maker. There's just zero question about it.
Second down.
So you know how Miami, they were wearing the jerseys that say culture? Well, Michael Malone was quick to point out, hey, we've got a Nuggets culture too. And clearly it's one that's born out of unselfishness. So check this out. Fourth quarter. It's a tight game. You know, the game is still in doubt.
Yeah.
And he had the bench guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
In Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown, and they were doing their job. They were playing well, but the starters were ready to go in and close it out.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope were at the scorer's table ready to check in, and then this happened.
The funny thing is I had Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at the scorer's table during that stretch, and this speaks a lot about our group. Both those guys said to me, Coach, let Reggie ride. Let CB ride. This group is playing well. And, you know, part of our culture, because we do have a culture in Denver as well, part of our culture is being selfless, getting over yourself.
Okay. That's the kind of stuff the sports fan in me gives me goosebumps.
Get over yourself.
That is so... Do you understand how rare...
Yes.
That kind of mindset is in pro sports?
I say this all the time. You know, when I'm out doing a corporate event or whatever, it's the biggest key to winning. And it's the hardest thing to do is to forget about yourself and to put others first. And it's the key to success, man. It is the key. And that's one of the reasons I get passionate and pissed about guys like Jerry Jeudy. Because you won't win. I don't care how talented you are, man. You can be the most talented group ever. If you don't have that type of attitude, you can't win championships. And to me, this is about winning championships. Anything else is, you know, anything short of a championship is a failure.
Third down.
The Broncos sent out a very clear signal about their plan for this year. They are prepared to rebuild, reset, however you want to label it, but by taking on $53 million of Russell Wilson's $85 million dead cap money figure, what they've done is they've put themselves in a position where next season, they're going to have probably over $100 million in cap space. They'll really be able to go about improving the team next year. But what does that mean for this year? Broncos country needs to buckle in and accept
what? What's the ceiling? What's the potential for this season?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the potential or what the ceiling of this season is, but
all right, let me boil it down.
Okay,
brass tacks here. Is there any part of you that even thinks about the playoffs for this year?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. That's where. Okay. Thank you.
No. I. You know. I.
So think, you're rebuilding. If you're sitting here right now and you don't see a scenario, a path to the playoffs as a realistic goal, then let's just call it what it is. You're rebuilding.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Do I think they're going to go? Yeah. Houston Texans on them. You know, like nobody thought Houston was a 4-win team the year before. I think it's 4-win team, and they go to the playoffs. Right? Do I think that's going to happen?
I guess if you do draft a quarterback and
he
ends up being C.J. Stroud, like, sure.
No.
People also, by the way, forget. Everyone points to C.J. Stroud. They had already kind of started to build up the foundation, the nucleus of that team there in Houston. They had some nice pieces there already.
Well, they did a nice job in the offseason. They did a nice job with their draft with C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. You know, Grenard got paid. He's a great player that nobody's ever heard of. But the key, the biggest key to that is that division was awful. Indy wasn't good. I mean, you know, they got their quarterback hurt. Minshew, they came and they rallied, but they weren't a great team. Jacksonville struggled down the stretch. Like, that was not a good division. Who else is in the AFC South? Them, Jacksonville.
Indy.
Who's the third? Who's the fourth team? Houston.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah. Tennessee stunk. Thank you. So, anyhow. So, yeah.
One, two, three. Fourth down.
My point being is we don't have that same division here because we got Mahomes in our division.
I'm here. College hoops tournament action. Mountain West, Air Force, Wyoming both lose. CSU beats San Jose State. They'll play Nevada later on today. And then tonight, CU goes to work in the Pac-12 tournament, 9:30. They'll wrap up the action at the Pac-12 by taking on Utah. By the way, Selection Sunday coming up on Sunday, that time of year again when everybody's getting ready to fill out their brackets. The good news for you is you have a chance to win $5,000 if you have that winning bracket. So head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Again, go to denversports.com/hoops. Good luck. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver scene. Up next, the moves made by the Broncos send a very clear message and answer a question that some people were wondering about. Tell you what it is next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Did yesterday's decision to eat as much of Russell Wilson's dead cap hit to give them some more freedom for next year, did it answer one big question that had been out there for some Bronco fans? I think it did. Not that I ever wondered, but there was thought, how committed is Sean Payton to this? How committed is Sean Payton to trying to fix the Broncos? Is he here for the long haul? You've heard that question before.
Sure, sure.
And this move, I think, answers that question emphatically, does it not? The fact that he's willing to basically punt on this season,
right,
tells you that he's signing up for a rebuild, and he knows it's going to take some time. And by the way, I don't think this is something that caught him off guard. I think when he took this job, he thought all this was going to play out the way that it's played out.
Mm.
That he would come in here,
He would give his best shot of trying to fix Russ, trying to work with Russ. But I think right from day one, he knew it wasn't going to work. He knew they were facing the salary cap implications and that it meant that he would probably have to start over. I don't think he came into this with his eyes not wide open. And I think it answers a very clear question, a clear answer to Broncos country that, yeah, this guy's in it for the long haul.
I think you're right. I think it's, and it's also some, one of those things that you come into this situation. I'm sure he came in here thinking, you know, it's different. There's always that aspect of being on the outside looking in and, you know, looking at things through the lens of a television analyst, looking at things through the lens of, I haven't really studied them, but I've seen some highlights and I've seen some things. And then once you start digging in, you know, because remember, it was a year ago when, you know, or 2 years ago when the national pundits were talking about the Broncos having the best receiving core in, or one of the best receiving cores in football, when it was Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler and Cortland Sutton. I mean, that was the narrative, right? I mean, it was all over the place. And how quickly now all of a sudden, well, Russ doesn't have any weapons. Well, there's no weapons. And now you and I weren't on that bandwagon. I've been telling you forever that I didn't think the receiving core was that good. But the bottom line is, I think you come in here, if you're Sean, and you're like, okay, let me see exactly what I have here. And as you start to go through it, you start to realize, oh, this is even worse than I thought it was. Like, I knew we weren't great, but I thought, you know, we could coach them up, and I thought we could, you know, out game plan some people, and I thought we could do, and you go, yeah, you know what? This thing needs to be torn down. It needs to be stripped down. We need to get better football players. We need to get more committed guys. And yeah, but you're right. The long haul, all right, so we got to tear this thing down. So it's going to be a couple of years of pain. I'm in.
Broncos country, are you in? Because it's been something that we've easily, it's easy to throw the term around, right? It's easy just to do shows like this or hang out with your friends and talk about the Broncos and say, yeah, you know what? They just got to strip it down to the studs and they just got to rebuild this thing. But now that it's actually happening, just to repeat, I asked Mark last segment, Mark, do you see any path for the Broncos to be a playoff team? And I barely had the question out of my mouth. You said no.
Right.
So you go into a season without even thinking about the playoffs, you're rebuilding.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. We'll take the temperature of Broncos country.
Rectally.
Because we're all about accuracy.
That's what we do.
If this is indeed a rebuild, and it's clearly happening before you, this is real. This is not a drill.
Right.
Now that it's here, how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Let us know. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Something else that made the Avs win in Vancouver so special last night. When Vancouver was up 3-0 and in control of the game, they played All the Small Things by Blink-182.
Did they?
To troll the Avs.
Oh, how'd that work out for you?
How did that work out?
Well, by the way, when did the Canucks... When did the Canucks change to the Whalers uniforms?
You noticed
did
that,
I
huh?
miss? Did I miss something?
That, yeah.
Canucks?
The old Hartford Whalers, yeah. Yeah, they kind of, well, God, remember the uniforms that Vancouver used to have back in the 80s and 90s?
Oh, I just remember
they
it
were
like
awful.
Orange they, and red
yeah,
and
they
black.
Looked, they looked like your grandfather's favorite easy chair back in the
terrible.
Day. Totally terrible.
Terrible.
You know the Avs, by the way? Avs season ticket holders confirm this for me, but I heard that they're not playing All the Small Things anymore.
What?
During Avs games. That's kind of gone away.
They've moved on?
Season ticket holders, if you're an Avs fan that goes to a lot of the games, is that true? And if so, I wonder why.
Maybe they had a falling out with Blink-182.
I wonder if that was the case. I wonder if it was like, hey, yo, we've kind of helped revitalize and resuscitate your career. How about a little, you know, something for the effort? I don't know. But my understanding is
how about
is
a
that
something, you know, for the effort. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I heard that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll throw that out there.
Yeah.
Good.
Is it still snowing out? How's the commute? It looks like it's still snowing a little bit.
There's a lot of water out there.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody who looks at these things as, hey, we need the moisture. You got plenty of it. Right. We got enough of it.
Don't forget the Debbie Gibson your trees.
Debbie Gibson your trees?
Shake your trees. You just can't shake your trees. Shake your trees. You remember that song?
I do.
Shake your love.
Yeah.
Shake your love.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't shake your love. Shake your love.
I just can't shake your love.
Shake your love.
Debbie Gibson was awesome.
She was kind of Taylor Swift before Taylor Swift.
Yes. Yes. Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Shake your trees. You got to shake your trees. Shake your tree.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of...
Yeah, you better get out there and shake those things.
He was very happy about this storm. Tree companies. There's going to be a lot of snap the limbs out there.
I hate it when the limbs snap.
No, I know. I feel bad for the tree.
I feel bad for the tree.
I do too. My old house, I was just... Because I like to, like, watch the snow come down.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love watching, knowing that my lawn is drinking.
Gulp, yeah.
Gulp, gulp, gulp. And I was just standing in my garage one time, just watching the snow. But it was a heavy spring. And I just was watching it come down. All of a sudden, I heard a crack. And I look over.
Oh.
And one of my trees, one of the big limbs came down.
Came down.
And I cried.
By the way,
I didn't cry.
I told you, I fertilize and I thatch rake the heck out of my lawn, I also overseeded the front. After I thatched, got it good and scraped up the dirt, then I overseeded also.
Dan in Lakewood, Sean knows what he's doing. Give him credit, Broncos country, and believe.
You don't believe.
So you're saying you got to believe. You're saying you got to believe.
Yeah,
you
got to believe.
Do you believe?
Yeah, I believe.
I believe in Sean Payton.
Dion, if you believe in Sean Payton, I believe in Sean Payton. What's trending coming up next? This. Wait until you hear this soundbite. Russell Wilson is now part of American culture. You know you've arrived and become a permanent part of American culture when this starts happening. We'll tell you about it. What's trending next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Nuggets with a 100-88 win in Miami as they once again executed down the stretch. And it was an interesting fourth quarter because Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown are out there on the floor, bench unit. And when it came time, typically, to put in the starters to close, Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, both those players said, nah, coach. Let these guys ride. Let them continue to play. They're playing well. And Malone did that. Reggie Jackson, who's been struggling of late, had a really strong fourth quarter. And Malone says it's important to show confidence in players.
My father told me a long time ago, one of the greatest lessons for me that he ever gave was the greatest gift I can give any of my players is confidence. So if they go 0-for-3 and they look over and I'm like, make a shot, come on. That's not going to help them. But if I encourage them and stay with them and they know it's genuine, then they have a chance to go out there and play to the best of their ability.
Has it always been that way? That the successful coaches try to build guys up rather than tear them down, or is that more of a recent phenomenon?
Might be. I mean, I think you always have to play with confidence. But, you know, I think there's probably... There's a fine line. You can't lie to a guy. I mean, you got to be honest with the guy. If the guy is not playing well, you got to let him know. But then again, you know, I think the encouragement part is the important part. But I just want to know what genuine, how's that taste? You think it's red or do you think it's white? Genuine. Sounds delicious.
Yes. I heard that too yesterday. Yeah. I was like, genuine?
Genuine.
Is that
That'd
like,
be a great name for a wine.
Are we going to get into this whole niche thing? Is it genuine or genuine?
I always said genuine.
I've always said genuine too. But
genuine. Sounds like a new brand.
Sounds kind of
cool. Michael Malone. Genuine.
The Avalanche with yet another come-from-behind win. They lead the NHL in come-from-behind wins as they erased a 3-0 deficit. Ended up winning in overtime 4-3. Jared Bednar, what was the key to the comeback?
But I do find that if you can get a little bit of momentum, you know, and there's a little bit more belief, and you start to push like we did in the third period, but push smartly, right? We checked hard. We did all the right things. Which leads to the victory, and it's a good message for our guys. It's a good, you know, it's good for all of our new guys to come in and feel that in this group.
This has been a thing for the Avalanche for quite some time. Going back to the playoff series against Seattle last year, Seattle scoring first in all the games. And throughout the season, we've seen the Avalanche start slow, but they've been able to rally. Okay, how do you choose to look at that equation? Yeah, they've been able to come from behind, but these slow starts, as you look ahead to what we hope to be a long playoff run, what would you prefer? The ability to come back or the ability to jump on teams early?
I think that I for one, I mean, they have an identity and they're grinding. I like their ability to come back. I'd prefer not to fall behind, but I like their ability to come back. I think that's a great, it speaks to their culture and their like Mike Malone talked about. It speaks to their culture and their confidence. So I for one, and maybe your goaltender doesn't start off real fast. You know, maybe he's not hydrated. Gives up a couple goals, gets himself hydrated. Then he gets locked in.
You were checking out some of the highlights again.
Dude, as soon as Georgie gave up a goal, man, he went right to the water bottle. He couldn't get enough water in his system.
Yeah, just didn't start the game hydrated enough.
No.
So the San Diego Padres and Los Angeles Dodgers are traveling to Seoul, South Korea to open the Major League Baseball season. And they're going to be playing a two-game series on March 20th and the 21st. So the Padres flew out yesterday. Long flight. And Joe Musgrove, their pitcher, was asked, how are you going to pass the time during this long, long flight?
I got it all, man. I got movies. I got a book. I got my sleep window set up. You know, maybe some high knees, hit the Russell Wilson on the plane and shake things up a little bit.
Wow.
Russ, you've arrived. Dude, I told you last year.
You are now part of American pop culture.
I told you last year.
You're a thing.
When kickers start making fun of you. Kickers.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is even worse because kickers are tougher than major league pitchers.
Major league pitchers are making fun of you.
Yes.
What's next?
Dude.
Seriously.
Does it get any worse than that?
No.
Does it get any lower on the totem pole than that? Major league pitchers, the most babied professional athletes there are, right, are now making fun of you.
Do some high knees. Everybody else is conked out. Hey, I don't know. Maybe I got Wolverine blood. I'm doing high knees.
I go quick. I don't know if it's Wolverine blood or what.
Oh, man. Oh, Russ. Thanks for the $85 million dead cap hit. Wow. The worst, the biggest bust in Denver history, right? Can we give him that crown? He is the biggest bust in Denver sports history.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I mean, who would you, on the Mount Rushmore of busts.
No, I'm not even going to do that because I'm the
Mount Rushmore. No, let's do it.
No, because, well, all right, you want to do it? Okay, but.
Iron Man.
Mike Hampton. There were some Bronco signings there back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
Dale Carter.
Who were some of our tackles?
Yeah.
Menelik Watson. Who was, Juwan James.
Right.
Who else was
not emotionally ready? Yeah. If you want to look at the Avs, remember the highly anticipated signings of Paul Kariya and Timo Solani? That didn't work out. This one. See, I don't even want to do the Mount Rushmore because the Mount Rushmore debate has almost like there's four and there's They all kind of belong together.
Right.
Russ deserves his own spot.
He would have the prominent. He would be front and center, the biggest one.
Nobody's even close.
I know.
It's not a drill.
Dude, what's his head has played 122 games.
All right, let's say Chris Bryant. All right, okay, for sake of argument. Let's say for sake of argument, you want to put Chris Bryant second. The damage that Chris Bryant has done to the Rockies doesn't even compare to the damage done to the Broncos because of what you... Bryant has been a bust, but at least all you had to do is just sign him, right?
Yeah.
You know? And in theory, now Dick Monfort doesn't choose to do this, but in theory, in baseball, you can carry a bad contract and still go out and spend to try to improve your baseball team. You're not completely hamstrung unless you hamstring yourself, which he does. But in this case, but with the Broncos, come on. It's what you gave up for him. It's what you paid him. Yeah. It's the ramifications of moving on from him. And it's right. Just the overall...
Chris Bryant was a free agent.
Yeah.
You weren't giving up prospects who would never make it to the majors. That's a total D-move.
Come on, man.
Although, Johnny Fever was quick to...
D-bag.
Johnny Fever was quick to remind us that as of right now...
Yes.
Are you ready?
Okay.
As of right now, the Rockies are 12-6 in spring training, Cactus League play. They have the third best spring training record in Major League Baseball.
Every year, The Rockies are like, what's an NFL team that always wins free agency and then poops in their helmets when the regular season starts?
Oh, the Jets. The Jets are always winning the offseason.
Right, yeah. Won the offseason. There's nobody that circles the wagon for spring training like the Rockies to sell false hope.
Yeah, you're right. Do you realize, Mark, this is so sad. You and I are both huge baseball fans, and I do believe this is the first spring training Rockies update we've talked about so far this spring.
Do you know that I used to
say... They're like 10 days away from the start of the season. This is the first time we've talked about them.
Do you know that every afternoon I used to flip on Rockies spring training baseball and watch it?
Yeah.
Every afternoon? Do you know that right now I have not even attempted to find a Rockies preseason, spring training game?
No.
I haven't even attempted. I've had some spring training baseball on, and I've watched some other teams.
Until Johnny brought it up, I wasn't even aware that they were actually playing well in spring training.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's right.
Hey, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be ready to go opening day. I'm going to be rooting for him.
I hope they shock the heck out of us. But I'm not counting on it. That'll
shock
do it.
And all.
That'll do it for What Is a Trending. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. So, with the possibility or likelihood that if the Broncos are going to draft a quarterback in the first round, it's probably going to have to be Bo Nix, I gave Mark the assignment of what does the film say? You did a deeper dive into Bo Nix.
Yeah.
And I heard some of the comments coming from you while you were looking at him during the break. Well, let's just say I'm curious to see what you found. That's coming up next.
The eye in the sky don't lie.
I don't like the technique that fat needs to get his feet moving better than that. That just makes me sick and want to throw up. And I promise you, when he came off that field, I ripped his...
Time for Stink to use the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches see to answer the big question, what does the film say?
If I had to go. I'd just pee my pants. I'd be standing in the huddle peeing.
Here's Schlereth and Evans to let Broncos country know, what does the film say?
So, barring a big move up in the draft, and I just don't know if the Broncos have the draft capital to do that, that you're looking at a situation in the draft where four quarterbacks are probably going to go in the first six or seven picks, right? Caleb Williams.
Correct.
Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. Uh-huh. It just kind of feels that way. Now, okay, it's subject to change. So if the Broncos are going to take a quarterback at 12, the guy that is most likely to still be there is Bo Nix.
Correct.
So you did a quick study of Bo Nix when we first started talking about these quarterbacks coming out of college. And because it's a possibility that Nix could be the guy, I had you do a deeper dive into Bo Nix. So we chose a game in which he was just on fire. Near the end of the season, they went to Arizona State, Oregon did, won 49-13. Nix was 24 of 29, 83% completion for 404 yards, 6 touchdowns, and no interceptions. You looked at the game. What does the film say?
Yeah, I actually went back and looked at a couple of games. He had a stretch there between Oregon State, ASU, and USC where he went 82.5%, 82.8%, 74.2% against USC through 10, 12 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Averaging about 385 yards passing.
Yeah, he went 367, 404, and 412. And of course, you know, when you're playing like that, it's easy to wow. Like on tape, it's easy to wow. But there's some things that I took away from those games that I really liked. You know, and you've got to, you always have to try to extrapolate, like, okay, what is a guy going to be at the next level? And even though a lot of times the scheme doesn't necessarily match professional schemes, I've saw enough in those games to say, man, there are some three wide receiver bunch flood form, you know, kind of flood zone formations where you got to go 1 to 2 to 3 on that side. You know, where he did hit, I made nice throws. Okay, so let me just give it to you kind of the way I think about it. Unbelievably quick decision maker. Does that sound like Sean Payton?
Yes.
Make a decision, great quick release. Does that sound like Sean Payton?
Yes.
Will throw it in the middle of the football field on time and throw guys open. Does that sound like Sean Payton?
Yes.
And great ball placement. Like really good. Now, of course, these games, he's tearing up, you know, he's tearing up Oregon State, ASU, and USC. Now, you know, I'm not a big believer in Pac-12 defense, but at the same time, they got damn good athletes. And there are, in those games, probably enough progression throws in there where you're like, well, shoot, he's reading that out pretty well. Even though a lot of college football is, like I said, 12 bubble screens a game, and you know, and there's a lot of simple man-to-man concepts, but you know, not a lot of one side to the other side of the football field. But he made some throws on some crossing concepts, deep crossing concepts, where he's holding defense and he's throwing it opposite, and he's doing some things. Man, I came out really liking his accuracy, his quick decision-making. He's an exceptional athlete. He can run, and he can throw on the run. Like, I could honestly see Sean Payton falling in love with that guy, throwing the deception out there that, hey, I like J.J. McCarthy, but I still think you're going to have to move up to where is, like, Tennessee at, and I think that's a doable situation, is Tennessee at 7. So you could move up to Tennessee or maybe even Chicago at 9 to get it. I think you're going to have to get ahead of Minnesota.
And you got to worry about Vegas jumping over you as well.
Correct.
Because if you're looking at teams that could easily say, hey, this is somebody we want to move up for, then if for sure, Chicago, Washington, New England go quarterback, 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 then you're looking at people who covet J.J. McCarthy. Do they move up to 4 with the Cardinals? Do they move up to 5 with the Chargers? The problem is, are the Giants sitting at 6 looking for a quarterback? So are they looking to move up?
Well, I don't think they're going to have to move up.
The
Giants?
If they want J.J. McCarthy.
Why?
Because I think a team could easily jump over the Giants into that 4 or 5 spot with the Cardinals or Chargers. And McCarthy could go 4 or 5. If you assume that McCarthy's going to be the quarterback that goes first after the first three.
I think McCarthy,
it could, by the way, also be, it could be McCarthy might even be jumping over Drake May.
Yeah, I think McCarthy may jump over Drake May.
Okay,
I think Drake may fall back.
Okay. He's going to be this year's Will Levis.
I don't know.
Levis dropped all the way out, of course, to the second round. But there was talk that Levis could go as high as, what, 5, 6, 7 last year? Dropped like a stone. But my point being is that, do you think Bo Nix, is there going to be such an overreaction rush to go get quarterbacks that Nix won't even be available at 12? Are you going to have to move up to get him?
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt that Drake May falls behind both J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix.
Ooh, hot take. Hot take Thursday. Really?
Yeah.
Based on just and you've looked at all of them.
Yeah. Just based on, one, North Carolina. There's something, I don't care what you say, there's something to it. Now, like, when was the last good Alabama quarterback?
You mean, are you trying to get me to know really? You mean North Carolina
quarterback? No, I'm asking you when the last good Alabama quarterback was.
Well, Jalen Hurts. Tua?
Well, he left Alabama and had to go to...
Tua?
You think he's good? You think he's been really good in the NFL?
I think he's good.
I do, too. But, like...
Dolphin fan, I think long and hard before I give...
him big money.
Give him $160 million guaranteed.
I mean, there's something to that. But I just... Like I said, I don't like the loopy mechanics. I didn't like him... I like both J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix better than I like. Hell, I like Penix better than I like.
Wow, you're really down on Drake May, huh?
I just didn't like Drake May.
Wow, okay. So if the Broncos are picking at 12 and they stay put at 12, if Bo Nix is available at 12, do you scoop him up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If J.J.'s there, yes. If Bo Nix is there, yes.
What if Drake May drops to 12?
That's an interesting question.
No, I think you just answered it conclusively. Just this long, drawn out, you're thinking about it, that just tells me right there, you're like, nah, you're not impressed.
I didn't, in a couple of games, now again, it's a couple games I've watched, but I didn't like his, like, what did I say about Bo Nix? Quick. Accuracy with ball placement. There's a difference, right?
Right.
But like dynamic accuracy versus static accuracy. Like dynamic accuracy is you put it where the guy is going to be. Like it's one thing to run a hitch or a comeback and throw it, you know, but where he's going to be, to throw him open. There's a dynamic accuracy aspect to throwing the football when you're throwing a dude open. And your ability to layer the football. I didn't see any of that with Drake May, comparatively speaking, to what I saw with Bo Nix. I had a long talk yesterday also with Hugh Millen, former Bronco quarterback, longtime quarterback, Washington quarterback. And we had a long talk about Penix, and he encouraged me to go back. I was like, man, the Michigan game just scared me. He goes, yeah, he was awful in that Michigan game. And he said, I want you to go look at this game and this game. We're going to get together next week. Go look at these three games. Like dynamic accuracy down the football field is what Penix is known for. But I did mention to Hugh, I go, I don't like his little three-quarter arm. A lot of batted balls. And he goes, yeah, I can understand why. Like I can understand that stuff, that underneath stuff that gets batted all the time.
And not exceptionally mobile. Right? His mobility doesn't jump off the screen.
He's not terrible. He's not terrible, but he's not.
If you have some draft picks to burn and you want to try to maybe move back into the late first round or position yourself to get right up there at the top of the second round to take him. I'd be fine with that. I'm not taking him at 12. By the way, for the Broncos, as we talk about this possibility of moving up. So here's the current state of the Broncos draft right now. They have 8 picks in the 2024 draft. They have their own pick in the first round, number 12. Then they have a third round pick, 1 fourth round pick, 3 fifth round picks, 2 sixth round picks. Does that feel like having enough ammunition without having to dig deep into next year's draft?
Right.
To move up.
Yeah, to move up to, say, 7 with Tennessee.
Yeah, let's say 7. Yeah. Let's say 7. Or 8 Atlanta.
I think that's a doable situation. Would it require, obviously, a swap of first rounders.
Right.
Then would you have to put a player in to sweeten the pot?
Yeah, because otherwise you'd either have to go with a player to sweeten the pot, but then who's that player?
How many third-round picks?
They got one.
One third?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to, it's going to have to be.
Dipping into next year's. And I don't think they're going to do that. I think the clear message being sent here by taking the big cap hit this year with Russ is the idea that we're willing to go a little lean this year, but we're going to really rebuild the Denver Broncos for 2025. Mm-hmm. This is the bridge year. 2025 is when we mean business. Right. We'll have the extra cap space, and we'll also have the picks. I don't think they want to give up picks.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think if they're going to take a quarterback in the first round, it's because the quarterback is there at 12 that they like.
Yeah. By the way, Field Yates was at, you said yesterday that Field Yates was at
Bo Nix's pro day at Oregon.
Yeah, I just texted him. He can jump on here in about 15 minutes.
Great. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. But so he saw it firsthand, so we'll get a little sense of who was there, you know, what the feel was, and how Bo Nix performed.
Well, the other thing, too, is we've been looking, and you've been looking at the film of all these guys. One thing that jumps out at me as I've been just listening to all the conversation around the football world about these quarterbacks. Caleb Williams' stock hasn't dropped. Jaden Daniels' stock hasn't dropped. In fact, it's gone up. J.J. McCarthy's stock has zoomed up.
Right.
Nobody's really said anything about Nix, which maybe is no news is good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Drake May has suffered.
Slid.
He has slid. You have heard more negative commentary, negative criticism of Drake May more than any other quarterback, other than Michael Penix, too. Although Penix rallied a little bit when his medicals came back pretty clean at the combine. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. But the one guy, if we're talking about Nix, he almost kind of is the silent QB in this whole group,
right?
Isn't he? He's not a lot of people are talking about him, positively or negatively.
Mm-hmm.
You like him. We'll see what happens.
I do like all those. Again, there's part of me that is kind of reevaluating my own evaluation from the standpoint of there's a lot of things that college football doesn't prepare you for in the NFL, but some things you can't teach: that quick release, that quick ability to make decisions, that ball placement accuracy is all there. And I saw enough over the course of 3 games of kind of levels throwing, you know, progression throwing that intrigued me.
Okay.
What about Surtain?
I don't think they're going to trade Surtain. Unless he absolutely loves J.J. McCarthy.
The Atlanta Falcons lost one of their starting quarters in Jeff Okuda. He left. What if Atlanta says, okay, we'll swap picks with you and we want Surtain?
Atlanta at 8?
Yep.
I think you're going to have to go higher to get McCarthy.
But what if it's Nix?
Would you include Patrick Surtain in a deal to get Bo Nix?
Would you move up for Bo Nix?
Well, based on what I know to be the history of these first-round quarterbacks, no. They have an 80% failure rate. No. But that's not my. That's not how I'm going into this draft.
I stand with Sean. How important?
I stand with Sean. And so if Sean Payton has put his seal of approval on one of these quarterbacks that he loves and he sees this guy as being his next Drew Brees, then you give up whatever you have to give up to get him.
I'm fine with that. I believe in Sean Payton.
Because I have enough faith and trust in Sean Payton. I do not believe Sean Payton is a drafted quarterback, any quarterback type guy.
I heard a story.
I think if he sees a guy that he loves, it's going to be that guy. Mm. And if that means you got to kind of mortgage a little bit to go get him, fine, do it.
I heard this story. You know what a dowry is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, back in the olden days, right? Where you
Can I just say something first?
Yeah.
This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.